Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful that you are here. Lord, we're most anxious, Father, to, as that song says, to go behind that inner veil this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint the ears that hear, Father, and the lips that speak this morning, Father, that we see only what you have already said and your word has clearly commanded, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just open our thoughts and our minds and our hearts, Father, for understanding and revelation from you this morning, that it may sink deep into our hearts, Father, that it may become a manifestation of your truth here in this hour. Lord, we just pray these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to speak to you about God and his church. And you're like, boy, this is kind of a recurring theme, right? How many times are you going to speak about this until the rapture happens? Amen. There is a work for this church to do, and I just pray that God will reveal that to you. In John 17, 5 through 11, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundation, before the world was." Amen. Amen. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and thou hast received them, and hath known surely that I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me." Amen. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them."
Amen.
Amen. He's talking about you.
Yeah.
"And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one."
Amen.
And that goes back to the title, God and his church. Amen. We are to be one as Christ was one with his Father. Amen. He gave us a way to do that. Amen. And Brother Branham will explain this in the quotes that we have this morning. How many of you remember from last Sunday the true definition of worship? Does anybody recall? Giving back his own word. And that's what we're going to do this morning, okay? Now, Jesus prayed in John, the 17th chapter and the 11th verse, "To you whom put down these Sunday school texts," I have many of them this morning, John 17 and 11. Jesus prayed that the church and he would be one like he and his Father were one. That the church, we as members of the body of Christ, would be one together, just like he and the Father are one. Now, there are a lot of people that deny Christ by rejecting that statement right there.
Yeah.
And you say, how do they do that? Because they don't believe that we are one with Christ. Brother Branham did all the works. He did all that stuff. All we do is sit back and act like fat cows. I have news for you. Would be one together, just like he and the Father are one. And at that day, we would know that he was in the Father, the Father was in him, and he in us. That together we are one. What a union. a oneness that would be to see God in his church, till every member is just perfectly in harmony with each other and God. That's the church that Jesus is coming for. That's when his prayer will be answered, that we will be one. Amen?
Amen.
I go back to that same scripture, and I hope that you don't think I'm overemphasizing. The Spirit and the bride say come.
Yep.
Now, we cannot have, if we don't have his Spirit truly manifesting in us, those words will never come out of our mouth and actually manifest something. Okay? And that was Jesus' prayer to the Father. And it will be answered. His word has been spoken, that we will be one. And that's from Oneness in 62. A man standing there, God representing himself in human flesh. Jesus said it would be the same thing at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. What a beautiful thing. We didn't get to see it, but we believe it, right? We weren't there when Brother Branham was on the stage and God was there in person with a pillar of fire hanging over top of him, manifesting himself in this generation. But we believe. And what did Jesus say about those that haven't seen but yet believe? It's just like the centurion. Have I ever seen such faith that you just take God at his word? Amen. God and his church, you and me, representing himself. Now, there was a little woman. When God was in Christ, he had the Spirit fully. He was God. I'm just one of his servants. I'm just one of his servants. You are just one of his servants. And you're just one of his servants. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In me is just a little gift. And in you is a gift. Have you found your gift this morning? And who is that of? Of him. But no matter how little it is, it's the same Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, if that is the same Spirit of God, it'll do the works of God. Now you pray and say, Lord Jesus, a little woman once time touched his garment, and we say that, amen. And that's from the Spirit of Truth in 1963. Brother Branham says here again, he is the last sign. And remember, the super sign in Abraham's time was what? When the God manifested himself in flesh and showed this great manifestation of knowing what Sarah was saying in the tent. The last sign that Israel got before her rejection and called Jesus Beelzebub was when Jesus could perceive their thought that was in their heart. Amen. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jesus said that in this generation would receive the same thing. That was the last. What is it? That was God with Abraham. That was God in Christ, God with Abraham, God in Christ Emmanuel, and today it's God in his church, Amen. The super sign. A lot of people believe that that's where it stopped. Just like in Jesus' day, or after Jesus had passed away or went up to the Father, everyone was like, it stopped with the apostles, right? It was just for the 12. It's the same devil. It's the same spirit here trying to make you believe that same thing. It stopped at Brother Branham, but it's not for you. That's nonsense, brother. And if you believe that, you're damned right there and you die. God with Abraham, God in Christ Emmanuel, and today it's God in his church. The super sign that God still lives. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Don't you never get away from it. Stay with it. It's the closing hours. It's the closing hours of the world's history. You guys can see that right now happening over in the Middle East. A super sign in 62. Brother Branham continues, you've got to get the living word in you.
Yes.
To have the living God in you. Because the word here is God when it's made flesh in you.
Yeah.
Made spirit, made life in you. When it goes into your flesh and your faith and becomes life, then you are a living example. You are an epistle of God, read of all men. You won't have it like Christ, not the fullness. We know that. Because it's divided up at the day of Pentecost, amen? Now, you people that believe you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost, I want you to listen to this just a minute. When the Holy Ghost came down upon the day of Pentecost, it was tongues of fire. That was the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, had separated itself and was upon each one of them, God in his church. Yes, sir, the Holy Ghost, that's right. There's where they received the Holy Ghost when they spoke in tongues. It wasn't an unknown tongue. They was speaking to people out there who understood them. The gospel must go out at that time. They went out into the audience and then out of into the courts and began to speak with languages not unknown. You can get the cart before the horse when you think you have to speak with unknown tongues. No, sir. They spoke with languages. The people understood every man. Hear we every man in our own tongue wherein he was born. Now, I wasn't there, but I can tell you I've heard of this happening in the past. And it happened with Brother John Martin, with Brother Carlos, and a group of brothers that were overseas. It wasn't very long after Brother Branham went off the scene, so the power of God was still super strong. They were over ministering in Bolivia or some place like that. Sitting around talking to ministers like Brother Brian did and has done. At one point, the translators were sitting behind them, not interpreting to the brothers anymore. They were in such a one accord, one faith, that the Holy Spirit showed up and they were speaking to each other in a different language, but understanding in their own. That can happen, brother and sister. I will tell you one instance when I was overseas in Africa for the entire month. Now, I'm just telling you what I've seen God do. This is actually personal. During the Durban meetings, one young man God was dealing with, he's like, God, I want you to show me that this is truly you, that you're here. And that you hear my prayer. So he asked God to have Brother Jim Hilton sing the same song twice. Not twice, three times in that meeting. And he did. And all of us were sitting there looking at Brother Jim like, what are you doing? He sung the song once, then he sung it again, and then he sung it again. You say, how is that possible? It is. It's possible if you ask and you believe. Amen? It has nothing to do with that group or me or the person. I'm just showing you that if you ask God for something and you truly believe it, he will grant it to you. An act of God sending forth the Holy Ghost so much that this word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, even a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. And what? It can only be handled by one hand. A sword is dominant. It has nothing in it. It's useless. Unless it's handled by a hand. And when a hand of faith can pick up God's word, just like I was just telling you, I'll do the same thing that Jesus did. The works that I do shall you do also. Maybe you can cut just a little. Maybe you got a weak hand of faith. You can cut enough off to say, well, I can see enough daylight to see that I'm saved. That's good. But what about the other promises? if you got a strong hand of faith, pick up the full word of God and cut right on through every darkness, amen, until the light of God shines in, and look face to face with God standing on his word, amen. Amen. If you got a weak hand of faith this morning, cut what you can. Because as soon as the light gets through, you will gain more faith. And that's perseverance in 62. Adam was a part, or Eve was a part of Adam. She was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And that's what the correct union is. Amen? And that's what the correct union of the church is. Spirit of his spirit and word of his words. Never deviating from the word. The real true believer will not compromise on any word. Remember, it was just one word that Eve compromised on, one word. But the true believer won't compromise on any word. It'll have the sword of the faith, within faith rather, the sword of the word, and claim every divine promise God made. That's it. They were God's example to us. What we should be, them, ever present, never failing. When they spoke, God answered. He watched them daily, night. When they lay down to sleep, he watched over them. In the daytime, he guided them, fed them, loved them, communed with them constantly, all the time. They were in God's image, and God was in them. Now, he's talking about Adam and Eve. We are the second Adam. That's what makes a fellowship. That's what makes the union. It's God in his church. Amen. That's the union. Much could be said and got many places to go. United with him is eternal life. So if you're not joined together with Christ, you do not have eternal life. And the only way we can unite with him is to come every bit of his word. That's right. Take every promise and believe it. Now, Eve was united until she broke one word or doubted one word to be true. That separated her. Every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So we can be in God, united, because Adam and Eve, before the fall, afore, means because before the disbelieving of the word, and was an example of what we could be in him. To be united with him is life. Yeah. To be separated from him is death. Now, if we follow his commandments, we know we make mistakes. We're still here in this human flesh. But you mustn't look at that. It's not your mistakes, because you're always going to have them. But you see, it's following his rules, following what he said to do. Stumble and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. And a real true servant, if he stumbles, he'll get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him right back into that path. As long as what he meets God's condition, and this is the condition, as long as he's in the path of duty. But if he's off the path of duty, God's not obligated to bring you back. Amen. If you don't keep his word, he's not obligated to bring you back. You're the one that wandered off. Now, will he come try to find you? Yes. But will he come and just bring you back? Not always. But as long as he's in the path of duty, God's obligated to him. Knowing that he's just a man or a woman, he's obligated to that person as long as they're in the path of duty. Now, the church is engaged to Christ for the wedding. The wedding has never been performed yet. It will be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. We're looking forward to that. So we see that the church is now engaged like a man engaged to his wife. What does he do while they're engaged? He just bestows all kinds of things, sending her presents and making her feel good. Well, that's what Christ is doing to his church. He's sending us gifts of the Spirit. How can you be engaged when you're denying these gifts exist? He sent some apostles. He sent some prophets, evangelists, teachers, preachers. But you hear people all the time that deny the power of God in the church, right to your face. How can you be engaged when you're denying these gifts exist? It's the very love tokens. It's God's token to the church. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Now keep those things in mind. The church must believe every word, every promise, every iota, and claim it for themselves. I'm not a fan of you saying, "Well, I'm eating cherry pie and I hit a seed." That's fine, throw it out. But don't set the whole pie on the shelf. I don't believe in that. I hear people say it all the time. It irritates me. If God said it, his prophet backed it up and brought it out in this day. If he said it, it's for me. And then you have men come along and say, "Well, that was for a different day, only for one person." It's a lie. Amen. Claim it for yourselves. Amen? And exercise themselves in it. I was engaged to a girl. If I was engaged to a girl and I was a single man, I'd send her something like an engagement ring, right? And if she wouldn't wear it, then that shows she doesn't believe me. She doesn't want to be my bride. And if Christ sends his church the gifts that he promised, and they refuse them and say they're not so, they don't want to be the bride of Christ. They are espoused to some other lover.
Yep.
And not to Christ, the bridegroom. So the real church keeps the promises and keeps all and accepts all the gifts that God sends to them. All right? If I asked Christina to marry me 14 years ago tomorrow, by the way, if I would have gave her that engagement ring and she would have just stuck it in her pocket, what would I have felt like? Well, I'll think about it. That would have been hard, right? It's a little bit, that would be hard to swallow. Think about the same thing. God gives you gifts. He sends men in your life that's an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, even tongues, healings, all these things. But then in your mind, you start thinking, "Oh, well, you know, that might not be from God." If it lines up with his word, it is. And then I'll just put it up on the shelf. I'm not going to wear his ring. I'm not going to wear his word. I'm not going to put it on. I like the gifts, but I'm just going to keep them in the box in my closet. For what? So that no one can see that you have the life of Christ? All right, that's from Oneness in 62. Now, everyone believes and knows that the corporal body of the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of God. I don't know. About half of people don't believe that. What is the corporal body? And you look up the definition. The corporal body is relating to the human body. He's sitting there beside his Father. Oh, I thought he was God. Yeah, he was. He was the manifestation of God. And so are we. Amen. The corporal body of the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of God Almighty, at the throne of God, making intercession for upon our confession. You all believe that. The Holy Spirit is here, which was upon him, which was God in Christ. Now, this is God in his church. God was in the pillar of fire once. The Logos that went out of God, that was the angel of the covenant that went with the children of Israel. through the wilderness, and then he was manifested the same God in flesh, which was his son, Christ, that he overshadowed a virgin and created a blood cell and lived in that body of flesh, the Son of God. Now then, when the Son of God gave his life and his body for a sacrifice, and God raised his body up on the third day and set him at the right hand of the majesty on high, then the Holy Spirit came back. Not the fullness, but just that little bit, right? Then the Holy Spirit came back on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says. There were tongues of fire, like tongues, like a lick of fire, set upon each of them. That was God. The same Holy Spirit that was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. You say, that wasn't Jesus. It was. He said, I come in my Father's name. Whose name are you here under? Amen. We're engaged. Amen. We're engaged. It was. After his death, burial, and resurrection, Saul was on the road down to Damascus, and that great light struck him down. And Jesus on earth said, I come from God, and I go to God. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension, Saul on the road down to Damascus was struck down on the ground, and he looked up, and there was a light that blinded him, and cried, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Had returned back to the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel in the wilderness. Amen. The pillar of fire came down in our day, and it's still here. It's leading us to the promised land via his Holy Spirit. Amen. So who is this that we have among us? It's Jesus. It's God. He came in his Father's name. Amen. We take everything that we have to confess, that we ask for in Jesus' name. Amen. To the Father, to that man that is sitting at the right hand of God. Sirs, we would see Jesus in 61. Now the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit of Christ in you. Now, before we read, I'd like to say a few commenting words here. What is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? It's a seal. What is the Holy Ghost? It's a covenant. And what is the Holy Ghost? It's a sign. What is the Holy Ghost then? It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. That portion that he gave you back once he ascended, even if it's the size of a button, or some may have the size of an ounce, some may have a cup, you know, whatever part of God that he's given you, it's Christ in you. It's God in his church. See, a little while, said Jesus, and the world sees, the world doesn't understand me no more. The world doesn't understand where God is right now. He's in you. So when you get angry and you fuss with each other, who are you fussing and being angry with? You're being angry and fussing against God. It's that serious, brother. I'm going to do a marriage and divorce series coming up. And I'll show you how God will, how he will either be in or out of you, depending on how your relationship is with your wife. It's a covenant. It's the Holy Ghost. It's a sign. And the world understands me no more. Yet ye shall understand me. For I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The Spirit of God in his church. Amen. What for? What did he do it for? God doesn't do things halfway, brother, sister. If he said it, he meant it. If he said it, there's a purpose for it. This is a little on tomorrow night's subject, but what did he do it for? Why did he? Why did the Holy Spirit? What did he come for? What did he come in you for? Why did God come down? I could even say that. Everybody knows that saying, right? Why did he come down? What did he come in me for? Was to continue the works of God. You say, well, that was for Brother Branham. Okay, I believe that too. That was a super sign. God demonstrating himself in human flesh, born of a man and woman, the same and greater than he did in his own son. You say, well, that was just for the one man. No, it's for every single believer. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. I come not to do my own will, but the Father that sent me. And the Father that sent me is with me. And as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Oh my. The Father sent him, went in him. The Father that sent Jesus came in him, worked through him. The Jesus that sends you goes with you and is in you.
Amen.
Amen. And if that Spirit living in Jesus Christ made him do and act the way he did, you'll have some general idea of how it'll do when it's in you. Because the life cannot change. It'll go from body to body, but it cannot change its nature. Why? Because it's God.
Yeah.
Now, in John 14, just let's read just a little bit, beginning at the 10th verse. Believest thou that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? This is Jesus. The works that the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
Yeah.
Think of that now. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Don't you see? See how he said there? Now watch this. How this comes out. I'll read just a little further. We're going to read down about the 20th verse. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, amen? Let's see, I had, right? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, now watch, and he said, give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
Not just for a little while, until he comes back. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Can we read that again? Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth, it doesn't understand him, neither knows him. The world doesn't know where to find God. Amen? We do. But you know him, you understand him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, God in his church. Who is that Spirit then? What is the Holy Ghost? It's Christ in you. It's God in you. The Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. And when the Comforter has come, he will do the same things that I've done. While the Comforter is in me, I pray the Father, and he'll give you this Comforter, that you know the Comforter. The world doesn't know him, never will, but you know him because he dwells now with you. Jesus speaking, but he shall be in you. There you are. That's the Comforter. Shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not. Now, that's the Comforter, Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost is Christ. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall understand me, because I live, you live also. What is the Holy Ghost given for in 59? And now he was questioned, and he said, Verily I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing in himself. Now, I'm not up here telling you that I can do anything within myself. Unless God gives me a vision, a dream, or I see it plainly revealed in his word, I say nothing. Amen. That's the same for you, brother, sister. It's true worship. When it's revealed to you, you give it back to him. When your healing is revealed, you give it back to him. When your salvation is revealed, you give it back to him. You say it back to him. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, he had Adam and Eve there. What was his favorite thing to do? Come down in the cool of the evening and walk with his son and his daughter and have fellowship. Not him sitting there talking, but communion, both talking. You know, one time you said this. Oh yeah, I did say that, and that's why I did it. Telling you, communion. Nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. But what he understands that the Father wants and is doing. Amen? That doeth the Son likewise, and that doeth the church likewise. In other words, see, it brought it back. The Father showed him where that man was laying there, his condition. He went to him, healed him, and walked away, give praise to God. He could do nothing else because the Father hadn't showed him nothing else. If that was Jesus yesterday, it's Jesus today. You say, how can God heal one and not heal another? We preached about it last Sunday, and we're saying it again today. If you're in the line of duty, and you are doing that God's service, he's obligated. And Brother Branham will use some illustrations here. We'll keep going. Now watch what he said. A little while, and the world won't see me no more. Did he say that? Yet ye shall understand me. How the world is. Now, the world is the unbeliever. We always know it. It's cosmos in the Greek, which means the world order, all right? The world will see me no more. Yet ye shall see me. Yeah. Ye, the church. For I, a personal pronoun, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Does the scripture say that? Yeah. We all know he said that. Now, how could he manifest himself now? He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Yeah. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. Now, this is kind of a little bit of the works part, right? The vine doesn't bear fruit. It gives life to the branches, and the branches bear fruit. I'm a branch this morning. You guys know my commission, John 15:16. Amen. You are that too. He has chosen you and ordained you to bring forth fruit. I'm a branch. I will do what a branch does. I will take the life that he gives me and I will display it. It's an orange life. I'm going to display an orange so that the world can see. You people up here in Concord ought to know that with your grapes and so forth, you and your fruit, if you've got a grape tree, then a grape or a grape vine, you would expect to find grapes. If it's a grapevine, the vine won't bear the fruit, but the branches will be bearing grapes. That's right. If you go to an apple tree, that's a good fertile tree. It'll bring forth apples. A pear tree will bring forth pears. A watermelon vine will bring forth watermelons. A pumpkin vine will bring forth pumpkin. Everything is known in itself. Then the Spirit of God in His church will produce the life of Christ if He's in that vine. You say, so I've been going here and doing this or listening to this ministry, and then your life is bearing lemons, but they say that this is an apple? Is there something that's wrong there, right? The Spirit of Christ is not in there, right? That's right. It will produce the life of Christ if He's in that vine. And we are the branches, certainly. You see, we've changed that. We've made it into joining a church. Now, as long as you go to where these certain ministers preach, or you push play only, teaching theology, having schools, nothing against that, but you see, it's not what He said. The works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to the Father. A little while the world won't see me no more, yet you will see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Jesus was walking along one day, and He was hungry. And He's seen a tree that should have had food on it, right? And it didn't. Why? Because the vine, the tree, it was rotten. It was no good. And He cursed it. Did that tree live again? No. And that's from We Would See Jesus in 58. God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was God manifested in flesh 100%. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. But when He gave out His Spirit, we adopted sons. That's us. He gives us a bucketful out of that ocean. So God in Christ was the entire ocean. Every ounce of water that you can see and can't see was Christ and God being manifested in that body. He had all the fullness of the Godhead. We just have a portion of it as a gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But if I took one bucketful out of the ocean, or even one teaspoon of it out of the ocean, the same chemicals that's in the entire ocean would be in that spoonful, but just less in quantity, right? Not less in quality. The same Holy Spirit that was in Christ is in His church. You say, well, all I got is this little, all I got is this much. That's all He needs you to have. Use it. Don't put it under a bushel. He gave you a talent. That talent, it can be this size. It could be this size. Or it could be 5 gallons. Whatever your duty, whatever your purpose is, make sure that you're using it. Now listen to the strength that is that for you. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. The vine only purges the branches, and the branch bears fruit. Therefore, the only way Jesus could speak tonight would be through my lips or your lips. My hands or your hands. My life or your life. I am the vine. You are the branches. He doesn't bear fruit anymore. Can I say it again? The vine doesn't bear fruit. He just purges His church, and it bears fruit. Now, what kind of fruit would it bear? If the life that was in him is in his church, it'll bear the same kind of life that he bore when he was here. Do you understand? Notice, if you went to a grapevine, you'd expect to find grapes. And down south, I don't know whether you have them here, or we have pumpkins down here. If you go to a pumpkin vine, you expect to get a pumpkin. If it's a good, fertile vine, watermelon, you'd get a watermelon off of the watermelon vine. And if we've come to the vine, Christ, his church will do, we find, fussing. Is the vine supposed to produce fussing?
No.
Arguments among the brethren and stuff? Stewing over theology? Hatred and malice because you differ just a little bit from me? You didn't put the comma in the right spot. Strife? And we call that the works of God? The scripture says that it is not so. This will all men know that you are my disciples when you've got love one for another. Every branch grows at a different rate, doesn't it? The ones at the top probably grow a little bit quicker, right? Because they're closer to the sun. The ones down below, they probably only grow a little bit because they're kind of shaded out by the rest of the branches, right? Don't be discouraged as long as you're growing, right? That's fine. This will all men know when you are my disciples that you have love one for another. Just because the lower vine on the tree isn't growing the same speed as the vine on top, don't be just thumping that brother or sister. Well, you're not here yet. You should be here. No, their job is down there. They're in their duty. Amen. We don't fuss and stew. Amen. God in his church making every member a part of him. The entire tree, the entire body of Christ. Then upon that rock and that foundation, he builds his church. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever in 58. So when they heated the furnace, little did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know that they were coming out of that furnace. For they said to themselves, our God is able to deliver us. But nevertheless, we will not bow to the image. Now, we could do a whole series and sermon on that little bitty scripture. But we won't. Not yet. But nevertheless, we will not bow to the image. Okay? God had someone who would serve him and his purpose. Find your purpose, brother, sister. Would not be defeated. It was revealed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that our God is able to deliver us. Yeah. And every time my dad goes for a treatment, I pray for him. And we have seen God work time and time and time again and bring us straight through. You say, well, you're still going the medical route. You probably should have went natural and done this, done that. This is just how people think. No. We have a definition of our goal, our direction, and what God has told us to do. At the same time, though, I will pray over him every time he goes in for a treatment. And I am the same revelation that he gave to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able to deliver us is the same words that I speak over him.
Amen.
Amen. God is obligated. And his purpose would not be defeated. Fire cannot defeat the purpose of God's plan. And oh, how I love to say this morning. All the hydrogen bombs in the world can never defeat the resurrection of Jesus of his church. It don't matter. And as Brother Brian stated, and who knows, we walk by faith. If our end here is in the moment in the twinkling of an eye because of a bomb, then so be it.
Amen.
That's how quick we'll be over there in the arms of Christ, right? So however he chooses to make this manifest, amen, it will never defeat the purpose. Why? Because we are in the purpose. All that explaining away and all the mathematics and so forth that this intelligent world has discussed through her, though her purpose to do something about, to destroy the faith of God's children, it will never do it. That faith will live on forever. That revelation will live on forever. Amen. It was the purpose of God to show that he had power over the wild beasts of the fields. And they put some lions in a cave one time, and they had starved them until they were so hungry that they could have tore a person to pieces in just one grab. And the devil thought, surely I'll be able to destroy this prophet Daniel. But Daniel had purpose in his heart to do the purpose of God. And God had placed that in his heart. I hope you find the purpose of being a bride this morning. Nothing God, the Satan can throw at you can mess with God's purpose. And God had placed that in his heart. Before Daniel could have had this desire, there had to be something to create that desire. Amen? A deep calling to the deep, as Brother Branham said. Before he could have that faith, there had to be something to tell him that there was a God that could deliver.
Yep.
Same way with Job. These guys are back in the Old Testament, okay? They only had one or two old scriptures from maybe a prophet prior or Moses or whoever to be able to go by, right? And oh, how that coincides this morning with the faith, the living faith of the living God in his church. There's something in our hearts that speaks that there is a land beyond the river. I cannot put my finger on that land, neither can any man. But there's something within us that tells us that the grave is not its goal.
Amen.
Amen. And dust thou art, to dust thou returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Amen.
Amen.
We just laid our sister Carol to rest last Wednesday, right? That was just the body that she borrowed while she was here. Her soul is on the other side.
Amen.
Where are we going? Amen. It was not spoken of the soul. There's something within us, a fire that's burning, a light that's been lit by God, and no breezes can blow it out. There's no cold spells in the church. There's no indifference among the people. There's no persecution of the world that can blow out a flame that God has lit.
Amen.
It can literally be put under water, like Jonah. Didn't go out. For it's God's purpose that his torched light of freedom will burn until the coming of the Lord. And no powers can blow it out. They will only make it brighter as they blow.
Amen.
So those trials, those things that God has given you, only makes that light in you grow stronger.
Yep.
And hotter. It's been proven through the ages that persecution strengthens the church. We've seen that from Paul on down. Amen. I personally am glad we live here where we live. We have seen everything. God revealed everything in our generation. I know my Redeemer liveth from 58. The Bible said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said the works that I do, he did, would continue on in the church until he comes again.
Amen.
People say, well, Brother Branham's gone. All we do is sit in our recliners and play tapes. I don't think so, brother, sister. Jesus said the works that he did would continue on in the church until he comes again. He ain't come again yet. Does the Bible say that? It's Brother Branham. It does. The works that I do shall you also. More than this shall you do. More places. For I go unto my Father. I go to my Father and come again. I come from God, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. I came into the world in the form of a son, and the son called flesh, or the son, the flesh called the son. I returned to God, back to the light again, and appeared over here to Paul down in doing the same work, God in his church. That day you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. It's God in you. It's God in his church. The vines. The hope of glory. And that's Hear Ye Him in 56. Amen? That's all I got. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful, Father, to be your vine, or to be your branches this morning, to be able to know you as the vine, though, Father, to be able to understand the life that you've given us is to be displayed and produced here until you would return. Thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring it deep into our hearts, Father. Help us, Father, to be dressed in your word, Father, that when you would return, you would be pleased with what you would find. Father, dressed in your word. Father, we just thank you for all these words. We thank you for the prophet, Father, the revelation that was given to a man so yielded to God that we have the ability to go back and to look these things over and to find them, Father, and to be able to speak them back to you. We worship you now, Father, and Spirit, and in truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us throughout this week, Father. Keep us in the palm of your hand, Father, wherever we may be able to display your Spirit, Father. Help us to have that opportunity and to be able to recognize those things that you would have us to do on a daily basis, Father. Thank you for these things. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning for those that have ailments in their body, Father. Make them known to them, Father, the revelation of their healing, the faith, Father, that you would give us to be able to get out of this place, Father, when you would return. Thank you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.